Good to be here today. We continue to look through the Gospel of John at the I Am statements and invite you to turn this morning to the Gospel of John chapter 10. We'll continue to look at these for another 2 or 3 weeks, and that will likely take us up right to around the July 4th holiday, which actually falls on a Sunday this year. So we will be, the praise team will be putting together 2 or 3 songs that are a reminder of God's providence and care for our country and how desperately our country needs Him, and then a special song that we're putting together for our mission team that will be leaving that following week. And and we're going to have a little special service of commissioning that Sunday, and it's going to be a special time, and so trust that you'll be able to be here for that. John chapter 10, we are looking at Jesus, who is the door of the sheep and the good shepherd. Seems to be a revival of some old TV shows every now and then. I think one of the ones that has been revived on CBS lately has been Kids Say the Darndest Things. And that hasn't changed. They still say the darndest things after however long that show was on. And though I haven't seen a recent reboot of this, I wouldn't be surprised if one is coming of Candid Camera. And, well, actually we do. It's called YouTube and TikTok and Twitter and Instagram and all of those. It seems like, you know, we don't need Candid Camera because Candid Camera is everywhere. So, but that in the old TV show, they one episode they had Candid Camera in a very exclusive school, you know, for, you know, exceptionally talented and gifted students. And the Candid Camera people posed as career consultants who are going to advise these young people on their careers and what would best be suited for them on the basis of the tests and the interviews that seemed, at least to the students, to be really authentic. And so one young man eagerly awaited the counselor's advice. Surely the advisor would tell the boy to be a college president, a bank president, a research scientist. But no, the counselor had other ideas. And the look on the boy's face would have said it all. Son, after evaluating your tests and interviews, we've decided that the best job for you is a shepherd. Student didn't know whether to laugh or to cry. Who in their right mind would want to be a shepherd? You know, if you're in an elite school and training for something big, who would want to be a shepherd? We can be so grateful that we have a Savior that was willing to be a shepherd. Because goodness knows our sheep, us, we need a shepherd. Jesus is indeed the door to the sheep and the good shepherd. And in this passage in the Gospel of John, he reveals that to the Pharisees and to others. And he reminds us that he is our good shepherd. In all of the difficulties, the challenges, the times in life where we need guidance, where we need protection and safety, Jesus continues to be our good shepherd. And we find 3 ways in this passage of Scripture in which Jesus reminds us how he is our good shepherd and what we can find in him as our good shepherd. So I want us to take a look at this gospel passage from the Gospel of John, starting at chapter 10, verse 1. Through about verse 21. It is printed in the inserts. If you wanted to follow along, you also have your own copy of the scripture, and it reads as follows. Truly, truly, I say to you, He that does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father." A division occurred again among the Jews because of these words. Many of them were saying, "He has a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him?" Others were saying, "These are not the sayings of one demon-possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of the blind, can he?" What deep and profound words of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Because Jesus is our good shepherd, we find our security in him. The transition in this passage takes place when Jesus was talking earlier about blindness. And Charles Swindoll describes the transition this way. He says, "The Pharisees, who were supposed to be the shepherds of God's people, instead ruled Israel with an iron fist. They defrauded the people with crooked practices at the temple, burdened them with rules and regulations that were never in God's law, and clung to their power through intimidation. As we saw in our last chapter, rather than rejoicing at an obvious work of God, they excommunicated the newly healed blind man, attempting to slam the door in his face." So Jesus tried to communicate in another way, using another figure of speech that would help them to understand who Jesus was and to help them understand the error and the sinfulness of their ways. There's some important parts in this figure of speech that we need to be reminded of. When the scripture says that he who does not enter by the door into the fold, from the reading and the research I have done, that the sheepfold, where the sheep were, usually was an enclave of some kind, usually made of rocks, with the only opening being the door. So there was one way in and there was one way out. And the shepherd, or perhaps an assistant to the shepherd, after all of the sheep were in the pen, would guard the flock at night by literally laying across the opening of the door. So that if anybody wanted to get in, and they wanted to try to get in through the door, they had to confront the shepherd or the assistant who was there guarding the door. Or they had to climb the wall in order to get in. And it wasn't unusual for not just one, but for several different flocks to be contained within the sheep pen overnight. And so when morning came and the door was open, the shepherds would start calling the names of the sheep, and they would be able to respond by hearing and knowing the voice of the shepherd. And so when the scripture says that he who does not enter by the door into the fold, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. That word for thief is a word from which we get our word kleptomaniac. So it's literally somebody who steals by means of a plan. They deliberately plan to steal away. And we know that there are people who are deliberately trying to steal away people from Jesus. We know that Satan is prowling around as an adversary, looking to find ways to steal people from a relationship with Jesus, to keep them from seeing the truth that Jesus Christ is indeed Savior and Lord. And then that word for robber is one that would be used to denote somebody who used violence in order to accomplish their plan. So truly I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold, the only way to get there is to climb some other way, they're either a thief or a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. When that door opened, when they entered by the door, only the shepherds were allowed to enter. And there was security in that. Security is a big business these days, isn't it? Doorbell cameras, security lights, security cameras. Security is important, and the way that they secured the sheep was by the shepherd or a designee laying in front of the door. Isn't it good to know that because Jesus is the door of the sheep, that we can find our security in him? That is where we find our security. The fold of the sheep. Many people understand that to be the nation of Israel. And the thieves and the robbers were the current religious leaders that didn't love the sheep, and they placed a heavy burden on them, just like they did with the woman who was caught in adultery back in chapter 8, this blind man who was healed. The way that it's stated in Matthew in chapter 23 is as follows. And this is Jesus confronting them when he says in Matthew 23, starting in verse 1, Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them. They tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger." That's what they were doing, is they were laying oppression and unrealistic, following the rules, following the requirements. And they were thieves and robbers. They were sucking the life out of them. And it says later in this passage that Jesus came so that he could give life and give it more abundantly. When we trust in the Good Shepherd, we are going to find our security in him. We need to trust in him so that we can find our security. There are so many false religions or semi-true religions or secularism as a religion that are drawing the sheep away, thinking that they will find life in all of those places, thinking they will find life in the pursuit of wealth and the pursuit of whatever happiness looks like in the world. And then they realize that there's no security in it. There's no security in thinking that you have to work your way to heaven and then realizing at the end and wondering whether or not you've worked hard enough and whether you've reached the goal of being able to be secure in heaven because you haven't done quite enough. People think that there is security in riches and finances only to have things like the Great Depression and the recession of 2008 come and wipe out everything. Or to feel like you're investing in something that is a sure deal and to have somebody like Bernie Madoff make off with the money and it leaves you destitute and broke. There's no security in that. But there is security in the one who is the door of the sheep, our Lord and Savior Jesus. That is where we're going to find our security, in the rise and fall of the world. Where did we find our security these last 15 months? We found it in Jesus, because the world was in turmoil, and if you were looking for a point of security in the world these last 15 months, if you found it, let me know. Because nobody was saying, hey, guess what? I looked into the world and I found a way that we can be secure. Now, people were struggling. People were losing jobs and they were without money and they were seeking food. And there was everything in the world that should have been secure, that was secure 2 months earlier, then just started to crumble. But we find our security in our Good Shepherd. The one who loves us, the one who cares for us. That's one way that we know that we can trust in the Good Shepherd, is that we find our security in him. Then in verses 7 through 13, we find our shelter in him. Not surprisingly, these figures of speech were confusing. They didn't understand, and so Jesus had to take another crack at it. He had to say, okay, I'm going to tell you again and try to make it even more clear and more understandable so that you can understand what I'm trying to say. And he says to them, truly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. He makes it clear where that true source of hope is, that true source of shelter is. I am the door of the sheep. I'm the one that is protecting. All who came before me, all of those teachers, all of those who were teaching all of the additions to the law and weighing the pen down, all of those teachers were robbers and thieves, but the sheep didn't hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. Being saved, knowing Jesus as Savior and Lord. If we enter through him, the door, we will be saved. And the great thing is that we will find shelter. He provides for us. We'll go in and out and find pasture. We find safety. We find shelter. Because the thieves were coming to do what in verse 10? They came to steal and to kill and to destroy. And given enough of the world, that's exactly what the world will do. The world will steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus says that he came that we may have life and have it abundantly. I trust that's what we all want. We want to have an abundant life, whatever that looks like. And we know that abundance comes in more than riches, and we know that abundance comes in more than possessions and acquisitions. Abundance comes in an overflow that can only happen from the inside out. Abundance is never going to come from the outside in. If we seek to make our abundance in life from things that are happening externally to feed our soul internally, it will not happen. But when we find our abundance in Jesus, when we can say, as we sang, we're so happy because we know that he's watching us and he knows that he cares for us, when that abundance flows from the inside out, we have all the shelter that we need. He came to provide a life of abundance for us, to go in and out, to give us liberty and freedom. Christ has set us free, hasn't he? He set us free from the penalty of sin. He set us free from the punishment for sin, because Christ came and lived and died and went to the cross and was raised again from the dead for us. And he provides us that liberty to go in and out. He provides us pasture. He provides us spiritual food. We have so many opportunities to feed during the week, don't we? We have Bible studies. We have messages. We've got YouTube videos. We've got teachers galore out there that we can feed, and we can get nourished, and we can get strengthened so that we can be equipped and ready. And we know that we have a good shepherd that sacrifices for us. He lays down his life for the sheep. Another way of saying it is that Jesus came to save the sheep and not to exploit the sheep. Because that's exactly what the Pharisees and others were trying to do. And that's the example that he uses here. That he is the good shepherd, and he literally sacrifices, he lays down his life for the sheep, just as he did when he walked that road to Calvary and hung on that cross. He gave his life for us sheep, because he knew that the hired hands, the ones who were teaching those lies and half-truths, they weren't shepherds. They were more like taskmasters. They didn't own the sheep, and so when trouble came, they left. But Jesus is our good shepherd, and he is the one that came and laid down his life for us. A little bit later in John, in chapter 14, in verse 27, when we find that Jesus is our shelter in that time of storm, and shelter in that time of difficulty, and shelter when we wander away, he provides that safety and protection and shelter for us. John 14:27 is as follows. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. That is so important. Not as the world gives. The world is giving counterfeit. And Jesus is giving true peace. He's giving true hope. He's giving true love. He's sacrificed himself for the sheep. And we are going to be able to find our shelter in him. I trust that in the difficulties and the challenges of life, that we are turning to the Good Shepherd, the one who sacrificed and gave his life for us, and we find our shelter in him. In the Good Shepherd, Jesus, we find our security, we can find our shelter, and then in verses 14 through 18, we can find our salvation. Verse 14 and following, the Scripture reminds us that because Jesus is the Good Shepherd, he knows his own, and his own know him. Isn't it good to know that you're known by God? Isn't it a good thing to know that the Creator of the universe knows you? Because he laid down his life, we didn't have to lay down our lives. Scripture goes on to read there that in verse 16, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. Those other sheep are those who are the Gentiles, those who didn't know Christ originally, those who were not of the nation of Israel that originally knew that Jesus was coming as Lord and Savior. And those other sheep, they are not of the fold yet. He says, I must bring them also. It's just a reminder that salvation is for all. Salvation is for everyone. And that God's great desire, as laid out in this verse, is that all his people, those who have heard, those who have not yet heard but will hear and will come to him, they will hear his voice and they will become one flock with one shepherd. Jesus wants his church to get along. Jesus wants us to know that he came for a purpose, to give life. Now, we know that across denominations and across all of those things, that there are a wide variety of nuances and differences. But the thing we have in common is that those who are part of the fold know Jesus, the Good Shepherd. They have had and found their salvation in him. Him going to the cross was not happening because of somebody else, but it was because of his willingness to lay down his life. Verse 17, for this reason the Father loves me because I lay down my life so I may take it again. Verse 18, no one is taken away from me. I lay it down in my own initiative. I did it according to God's will. It may have looked like they hung me on the cross. It may have looked like they led me to Calvary, but it was already in God's plan, and I willingly laid down my life so that he could sacrifice for us, the sheep. It is in this willingness for the Good Shepherd to lay down his life for the sheep that we find our hope and our eternal salvation in Jesus. Do you know that Good Shepherd? Do you know him for eternal hope and salvation? I know so many of you have walked with the Lord so much longer than I have, and you know him and you love him. When we come to our time of invitation, what a wonderful reminder and prayer of praise it will be to just come before him and say, Lord, thank you for being my Good Shepherd. Thank you for continuing to lead me. Closing, there's an interesting description by a Dr. Andrew Bonar about sheep in the Highlands of Scotland. That a sheep would often wander off into the rocks and get into places where they couldn't get out of. You ever been like that? Getting into places you couldn't get out of? The grass in these mountains is very sweet, and the sheep like it. Sounds like a temptation of the world. And they will jump down 10 or 12 feet, and then they can't jump back up again. And the shepherd hears them bleating in distress. They may be there for days, and until they have eaten all the grass. The shepherd will wait until they are so faint that they cannot stand, and then they will put a rope around them, and he will go over and pull that sheep up out of the jaws of death. Why don't they go down there when the sheep first gets there? I asked. Ah, he said, they are so very foolish that they would dash right over the precipice and be killed if they did. It goes on to close, and this is the way with men. They won't go back to God until they have no friends and they've lost everything. If you are a wanderer, I tell you that the Good Shepherd will bring you back the moment you have given up trying to save yourself and are willing to let him save you his own way. It is so good to know that we have a Good Shepherd, that when we wander and we find that sweet grass that seems really good and we come to the end of our resources, that he's there for us. He will throw us that rope. He will bring us home to safety. The Good Shepherd, Jesus, we can find our security in him better than any home alarm system, because it's eternal security in him. We will find shelter in the time of storm. And we will find our salvation and our hope in the Good Shepherd, in Jesus Christ. Do you know the Good Shepherd? Do you know the door of the sheep? He wants us to be a part of that fold. And the way that we become part of that fold is through trusting our salvation to Jesus Christ, that he came, he died, he was buried, and he lives again, and he's coming again in glory someday. Trust in the Good Shepherd. Trust in the door of the sheep. Trust in him for salvation, and trust in him to sustain us through this journey in life, knowing that he has our best interests at heart. Because Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that you did not leave us alone, that you did not leave us to the natural consequence of our sin, which is separation from a holy God, but that you loved us enough to send Christ, and that he has revealed himself in Scripture in so many ways, that he is indeed the bread of life, that he is the door to the sheep, that he is the Good Shepherd. Father, thank you for providing a Savior who is willing to give his life for us sheep. Father, we are prone to wandering. Father, during this time of invitation, for those that don't know Christ, bring them to the Good Shepherd. For those of us that know Christ, Father, keep us from wandering. And Father, thank you for loving us in Christ Jesus, as we pray in his name. Amen.